Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for being a part of this time. Amen. This evening, we are on our regular schedule back in Long Island, New York, with the powerful speaker of Pastor Dawn Mixon. Before we do that, we'd like to remind you that There is an archive for those of you who are listening, and you can go to the archive and you can hear any message that has been on Blog Talk Radio. And if you miss this evening, which I'm sure is going to be a powerful message, you can go back into the archive and share it with a friend. Go into Blog Talk Radio, and once you go into Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message again and share it with a friend. Amen, family and friends. We do thank you for that. We also like to let you know that we can hear everything in the background, so please mute your mics or your phones or whatever device that you're using. Please mute it. All our mics here are going to be open. When the pastor opens up for comments, you can just speak. You don't have to worry about we turning on the mics on this end. Amen. We do thank you for that time. We also would like to pray for those who are on our prayer list, of the Hobbs family, the Palmer family, Corey, Katrina, Sean, Diane, Yolonia. We have those in Columbia, South Carolina, who ask for prayer. Amen. There are the numerous numbers. They continue to increase. So keep in mind that we have to stay in prayer one for another. Amen. We're not going to prolong this. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, and turn it over to Pastor Dawn Mixon. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Praise the Lord. I hope that you can hear me.
Amen.
All right, that's good. That's good. Please know if you hear anything in my background, I'm doing the best because my grandchildren are here from Florida, and there are four little children running around, and I'm doing my best to isolate them. So if it's something going on in the background, it's most likely my grandchildren. But I believe that there was a word from the Lord. Please also excuse my voice. As you can hear, I may not have much of a voice, but I am going to do the best that I can with what I have. As we are taking this time to share a word with you, I had such an awesome time on our last call. I pray that someone will call in and please call somebody. Tell them Pastor Dawn is on the line. She wants to share a word from the Lord to you. And so if you are on the line or if you are listening by internet, please include someone else so that you don't keep this word to yourself. We just want to go into a word of prayer, as we also have heard the prayers that are going up for the different saints that are asking for prayer. I am asking for prayer for out here our Apostle LaRuth Henry, who had surgery. Also to for our Bishop Stephanie B. Riddle Green, who is in the hospital. These are close people to me, and we're asking God's blessings and healing power over their life. So, our Father and our God, we thank you on today. We pray, O God, that you will say something that will help us on our journey. We pray, O God, that we are listening to hear what you have to say for us. And we pray that, God, whatever you say, that it will bless our lives and that it will open doors for us that we did not see. And so, God, we're ever so thankful because you have been a God beyond any other God. So there is no God like our God. And we thank you for being so kind to us and opening doors for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All right. On tonight, we are going to go to John. John the 10th chapter, and we are going to be reading verses 1 through 6. It could be a familiar passage of scripture to some, and it may not be familiar to all, but please know that there is no new Bible. If you don't catch anything I ever say, please remember this, something that my mentor shared with me. There is no new Bible, so there must be fresh revelation. So we're going to be reading out of the King James Version on tonight, and the Bible says, John 10:1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door. He is the shepherd of the sheep.
All right.
To him, the porter is open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I'm going to say that again. For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it not, what things they were which he spake unto them. I want to share, and I want everybody to really listen closely because I want to get some interaction on tonight. I want to talk about stranger danger. As children, we are taught to stay away from strangers because when we don't know what or where an individual is from, we take precaution. Good parents want to make sure that their children are protected, especially in the season and time we're living in. It is mostly imperative that we share with our children to not follow after strangers because we are living in a day where our sons and our daughters are being taken into the slave trade. They're taken away in many different facets for many different reasons. And most of the time, if someone is taking our children without consent, they are taking them to do them harm. And so it's amazing to me when we look at the times that we're living in where we see so many young children that are being taken of all nationalities. We find ourselves in a place where it is amazing to me because history seems to continue to repeat itself. And how they are taking our young children because of the appetite of mankind. And they are putting our children up for sale for whatever reasons that the enemy would try to use them for. I remember when I was going growing up as a child, and some of you who are listening on tonight may understand what I'm talking about, especially if you're a daughter. And I was raised in a two-parent family home, and there was just certain things you couldn't do. And one of the things you could not do, at my home, we had a gated, you know, our fence. There was a fence around our home. And because of that, we could play maybe in the front yard. We didn't play in the backyard too much, but because the front was gated, we could be in the front yard and play. But mom would say, don't y'all leave outside this gate. And the reason why she would say that is because she could look out our window and look and see us at all times, because you want to make sure that you know where your child is at all times. And
come on,
so now we got to understand is that we're living in a day where people are not teaching some of their children this facet of be careful of strangers. Don't talk to everybody. Be careful of your surroundings. And sometimes we're living in a day where parents, well, we have to be careful because we have children raising children. And so when you have children raising children, in this day and time, especially when children are raising themselves. And it is amazing to me how many children are raising themselves because they may be in a single-parent home and that parent has to work. And so we have a generation of the latchkey kids, and that means they are going to school, coming home, and they're locking the doors behind them, and they are by themselves. And so we've gone from a generation of parents who always knew where their kids were, trying to make sure that they always kept an eye on their children. And so now we're living in a day where a slogan is said, Do you know where your children are? And the reason why that is being said is because we want to make sure that we keep an eye on our children. We have to be understanding in this day because I believe that there is a demonic spirit that has infiltrated not just this part of the earth, but the earth as a whole. There is such a demonic spirit that is taking over that if it can take the generation after us, then it can cut off the bloodline, especially those who are in connection with God and they are teaching your children about God. If the enemy can't get to you, he's going to come in after the generation after you. Why do I say
that?
That's right. Because we're living in a day where children don't have to go to church if they don't want to. I live in a household where it was, as for me in my house, we are going
That's
to
right.
serve the Lord.
That's
we
right.
are living in a day where I was living in a day where there was no such thing as you going to tell your parents that I'm not going to church today. I don't feel like going to church today.
Mm-hmm.
There was no
That's
such
right.
thing.
Come
we
on,
were up. There were certain things we could not do. We could not watch television. We could not iron our clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You could not wash your clothes. Sunday was God's day. And so I want us to understand the reason why I'm going here with this concerning the stranger danger, because we are dealing with many of our people who are coming into the kingdom, and the babies are coming into the kingdom, and they're leaving through one door and going out the next door because the voices of strangers. It is important that we as people of God understand that the shepherd is the voice that we ought to hear. The problem is that we have so many shepherds in the pew that the sheep cannot hear the true shepherd because they are listening to the voices that are inside of the pews or inside of the world who says, okay, well, you don't have to do it this way. And they don't. And they have come out of the context of the Bible because now we're living in a day where people will use scripture to fit sin. I'm going to say that again. We are living in a day where people will try to manipulate the scripture to make it seem as if it's all right for us to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and still have no godly conscience or reverence. Because one thing I've realized is that God said, I am God, I change not. So in other words, his scripture is not, and the Bible is not going to change because we showed up and had a different idea. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So his word does not alter and change from generation to generation. It was good
Amen.
For Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is good for those who are on the line today. And the reason why
yes.
he established what he established is because our footsteps are preordained. God already knew what this generation would be way before Adam and Eve were created. And so there are certain things that you have to understand that are in scripture that are put in place that are, even though there are some things, there's nothing new under the sun. But he let us know that each generation is going to wax worse than the last. In other words, each generation is going to be worse than the last generation it comes from. How do I know that? Because every generation shakes their head at the generation that comes after them. We can't understand, like when my grandmother's generation looked at my mother's generation, and there were certain things that you just didn't do. There's certain things you didn't do. There's certain things you didn't wear. There's certain things that you didn't act like. And I can't even imagine my great-grandmother's generation coming back from the grave and seeing the generation of today. They would just completely lose it and think that everybody's insane. Why? Because we have made things adaptable for the appetite of those who are here in this generation because we want to spoon feed them with sugar. So we can kind of, you know, but, you know, what I've learned is that sometimes you're going to have to take that medicine with straight no chaser. There's some things that, that God has to let us know that it's good for you, even though it may not seem good to you. And anything that always seems right and always seems good most likely is not good for you. Let me help you. Why do I know that? For years, we've been taught to eat our vegetables. Eat your vegetables. Most children don't want to eat vegetables. They'll eat meat. They'll eat cookies. They'll eat junk food, but they will not eat their vegetables. It's important. Why? Because there's certain nutrients that are in your vegetables that you cannot get from junk food. And so we want to make sure that you're well-rounded. Well, why do I say that? I say that because there are certain things that the shepherd gives the flock that others cannot give. Watch this. There's a certain way that your shepherd prepares your food for you. And that's why some of us who are listening today will only eat their mother's certain type of food. If your mother makes the best macaroni and cheese in the world, you don't want to eat nobody else's macaroni and cheese, or you'll taste somebody else's macaroni and cheese and say, that's all right, but it ain't better than my mama's. Why? Because this is what has been fed to you over and over again. Watch this. And I can tell you for a fact, anybody who was raised on certain foods that they love that their mother or father make, if they have a blindfold over their eyes, and they did a taste test, they will be able to tell whose food is who. They can pick out their mama or their daddy's food from other people's food. Why? Because it's what has been imparted and poured or given to me over the years. And so it's the same way when it comes to the kingdom of God. When it comes to the kingdom of God, your shepherd or your pastor, your leader, prepares a meal for you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And you know what type of seasoning that they put on that food. You know what type of, now that you've gotten to a place where you're an adult and you understand. So when you hear the word and it sounds like your leader, okay? And you have to understand that when any other preacher that may be under the leadership of that leader, sometimes when you hear them talk, it sounds like your leader.
That's
and
that
the
DNA.
Food that they prepare, yes, sir, that's that DNA.
That's that DNA. Come on, sis, preach.
Yes, sir. It prepares you for the word of the Lord. Can I tell you something? That's why it's so difficult when there is a transferring of leadership. It's a transferring of leadership. You'll find that there are a lot of people that will separate because they're so used to a certain type of food. And if you don't have someone who has been that in that house that's been eating what you're eating, tasting what you're tasting, sometimes it's difficult. And that doesn't mean that they are not supposed to be placed in that house. It's got to be a place. Mm-hmm. Now you got to get to a point where you got to, I got to learn how to eat of this food because this is not what I'm used to. Doesn't mean that it's not good food. It just means it's not what used to. Okay?
That's right.
So
that's
you got to understand that there's sometimes the reason why some churches separate from one another because they're not willing to receive from another table that their shepherd is not preparing. Okay, why do I say this? You have to understand. Let's look at the scripture. Let's go back to John 10. The Bible says, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But in verse 1 says, but anyone that climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Listen, if you're coming through back doors, if you're coming through windows, if you're coming through the basement unaware, chances are you're coming as a thief to sift the sheep.
That's right. That's
Why do I say that? I say that because there's sometimes the enemy wants to, we have to understand the enemy is going to try to use whatever device he can or whoever he can to try to separate the sheep. Listen,
that's right.
When you know your parents' voice, you know your parents' voice. Watch this. The Bible also says, this is why I love God, because he makes things so simple. It is just because we don't want to receive it is why we don't want to understand it. But the Bible says that, verse 4, and when he put it forth his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Watch this. Not only that, verse 3, it says, to him that porteth open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep, watch this, by name, and leadeth them out. Watch this. Trust me, your shepherd knows your name. It's something, because now we've gone from a lot of people who don't, you know, you have people who don't really want to go into mega churches, and there's nothing wrong with mega churches. Please understand. But there's some people who want that hand on hand with their shepherd. They want to be able to shake their hand after service. They want to be able to have connection with their shepherd. They want to know that when I walk up to my leader knows my name. I was just sharing with my adjutants on the other day. I'm grateful as big, we have a nice size organization, but as a pastor, it's good to know that I can go to my presiding prelate, and he can, and I got his number. He's got my number. I can reach out to my bishop anytime I need to, because there is a connection. And when I call him, he'll say, Pastor Dawn. And I say, yes, Your Grace. Yes, Bishop, it's me. It's a good thing when your shepherd knows your name. Watch this. And even when he's on the line, watch this, and I can't see him, but I can hear his voice, I know Bishop Owen's voice when I hear it. Why? Because it's the voice I've heard for over 30-something years. When I speak with my mentor, when I speak with my mentor, and he's on the other line, if I don't see him on FaceTime, I know my mentor's voice. Watch this. And even if you were good enough to disguise your voice to sound like them, watch this, I know their dialect so well that I know if it's them or not. Why? Because even though you may sound like them, that food ain't seasoned like them.
Come on now.
And so I know whether or not if I'm hearing from my shepherd, because I know the dialect of my shepherd. And that's where we have to get to in the place of the kingdom of God. Why do I say that? Because your shepherd is the one who is has the care, and they're the one that is looking out for your spiritual growth. They're the ones who are caring, and they are cultivating the spiritual growth. And so sometimes we get fed up. We get fed up because sometimes the shepherd doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need, or she gives us what we need. Oh, there's a problem. I don't know how many times I've sat at the table, and I had something before me that I did not want to eat. I don't care how they dressed it up, Pastor Clay. I don't care, Elder Clay. I don't know. I don't care how much gravy and onions they put on liver. I don't like liver.
Well, give me your plate then. I'll eat it. Give me your plate. I'll eat it.
And listen, the thing about it, they make it smell so good. It looks good, but the texture of it doesn't taste good. But watch this. It's good for me, especially when you have a child with low iron, low blood, different things. Those things, there are certain things that liver gives you that mashed potatoes are not going to give you.
That's right.
And so there's certain things that just because you don't like what leadership says doesn't mean that you don't need to hear what leadership says. I might lose some of y'all on this one. Why? Because leadership is not always supposed to make you feel good. If I'm under a leadership that only makes me feel happy all the time, I got to find out, hold on, wait up. Because why? I need to make sure that my spirit is being checked. I need to make sure that I'm counting up the cost. I need to make sure. And, you know, we talk about so much dogma in the church. You have to understand. Now, I can understand if you're not getting that balanced meal. I can understand that. But I need to make sure that I can't just always have mashed potatoes, gravy, macaroni and cheese, peach cobbler, the stuff that I like, and the certain things that I don't like, I put aside. And that's what what's going on in the kingdom of God now. The certain things, Pastor, I'll receive this, but I'm not going to receive that. So that part is not for me. that part is for somebody else. And why is the church dying so much? Because they're not willing to receive the food that the shepherd is putting on the table. Watch this. And they are easily persuaded outside of the kingdom and outside of other places because they are not getting the nutrients that they need. And when a stranger shows up, there is a danger that takes place within individual's life because they're too weak to know the voice of the leader.
Amen to the truth. Amen to the
truth. And the reason why is because we have rejected, my God, the anointing over the house at some point in time, and we walk away from it because we don't want to hear what God is saying, even when it causes us to feel the rejection of our own flesh. Oh, good God, that was good. When we have to reject our own flesh, you have to understand. Listen, if I'm backing it up with the word of God, there's nothing else I can say. If that pastor or that leader or that preacher is telling me, Pastor, this is what the word of God says. We can't live this type of life when the word of God says we can't do this. Watch this. It takes time, yes, I understand, for us to get delivered from certain things in life. But you have to be willing. Oh, my God, that's the thing right there. You have to have the choice and the willing vessel. God, not only am I going to be a hearer of your word, but I'm going to be a doer of your word. In other words, if I'm hearing you, I am now held accountable for what I heard. Now that I'm held accountable for what I've heard, now that I know better, it's time for me to do better. But the problem is that we make excuses of why we can't do better because it's just me. This is how I am. Watch this. Not only that, but we say stuff like, oh, this is a part of my family. It's a generational curse. Well, baby, you're the one that needs to break the curse in your family. You need to say the buck stops here right now. I'm made up in my mind. I'm going to God. I'm going to lay before God. So you have to understand, back in the old church, what they would do is they used to call it purging. You know, they would get at the altar and they would say, Jesus, to the point phone was coming out of their mouth. And they would, somebody said, well, it don't
talk on
that.
Talk on that.
Can I tell you that? Come on. When people got up from that altar, they were delivered. Now we go to the altar, we say a little prayer, and we walk away, and we go back into the same thing we just came out of because we didn't believe what we were what we should have received. We didn't receive it.
That's right.
We spoke it, but we didn't receive it.
That's right.
We have to understand there is a reason why you have to hear your shepherd's voice. Watch this. And any other shepherd that comes to the back door, y'all hear me? Any shepherd that back door or basement that trying to build their church off of your feelings and emotions and tell you that your pastor don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. You've been under this leadership for years, and this leadership has helped your spiritual growth. Now, all of a sudden, I've outgrown the church. That's a famous one. I think I've just outgrown here. I'm trying to figure out how do you outgrow your leader if God is the one that is giving the word to the leader and the anointing is over their life. Now, I'm not saying that you may not move from one parish to the next parish because maybe God may have placed you in another area. But if you were taken out of the fold by a thief and a robber, you are out of place. You're out of place. So be careful of the strangers that come in unaware, okay, that mean harm. Now, watch this. Every stranger don't come with danger. I'm going to say that again. Every stranger does not come with danger. Why do I say that? Because the Bible lets us know. The Bible lets us know in Hebrews 13:2. And it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
Unaware, that's it. Unaware, that's right.
You have been in the midst of angels of God and don't even know it. And so that's why it's important that you have a godly appetite, you have a godly counter, because you don't know, because sometimes we size people up and we think that, they need more growth, or they don't look the part, they don't sound the part, so we prejudge them because we don't really know who they are. And so we put them in a category where you can't hang with me because this is the type of people we are. I don't hang with folk like this. I don't let certain folk in my circle. It's nothing. There's something that my bishop, my founding bishop, said from a child of, and this is why I say it's so important, because stuff that has been said from 1929, when our church was established by the Bishop Brumfield Johnson, he said to his congregation that it's nice to be nice. That was one of the slogans our bishop would always say, it's nice to be nice. Here we are in 2019, and that word or that nugget is still being passed down from 1929 to 2019, that it's nice to be nice. There are so many things that are being passed down from generation to generation, and if we grab hold to it, and not only grab hold to it, but be a part of it, when we treat other people, we don't really realize that we are treating angels unaware sometimes, and I'm talking about people who are in the midst of, who are seasoned people, as we say, who have been in church, mm-hmm. who know the Word of God, who are of the Word of mm-hmm. God, but their character does not show godly-like character. And so mm-hmm. we've got to be careful who we entertain, because the report will go back to heaven of what type of individual you are. Watch this, as if God don't even know. Because the Bible says mm-hmm. that he knows his sheep. The shepherd knows them by name. What? Not only that, but the sheep will not follow another voice. Can I tell you why? Mm-hmm. Because when you look up, when it looks up sheep, sheep are considered to be dumb animals. And it's not to be an insult to the body of Christ, but they're ever learning.
That's right. That's the point.
Capable of pouring into a sheep who does not have the knowledge. It's easier to pour something into an empty container and it be received than pour it into a container that's already full. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when you got people who know everything, you can't tell them nothing. They've experienced everything you've experienced. They've already been there, done that, wore the T-shirt. They've done all of these things that you cannot teach them anything. One thing I've learned, you can always learn something every day. There is something Amen. That I don't know that I learn every day. And watch this. And sometimes it doesn't always come from people who are of old age. Sometimes it comes from children. Do I not receive it because it came from a child? Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
God can use anybody.
Yes.
Listen, if you want to
yes.
learn how to use some of your devices that you have, I don't go
right.
to my mother. I go to my grandchildren for some things. And I have
mm-hmm.
one particular grandson who has a bunch of what I consider to be useless information. But he,
mm-hmm.
but whenever it's a passion for him about certain things that he loves, he'll say, "Mima, do you know that a snake has this such and such, or these spiders?" Because there's certain things he's into, nature, and there's certain things that are considered useful, unuseful information to me, but it's useful information to him because that's what
mm-hmm.
he. And watch this, it's something I did not know. But
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
what I consider to be unuseful information, I now have the information for it. Why? Because now I never know if I have to come across this information. There was a time I needed certain information concerning a certain reptile, and I needed it for my message. I had to go to my grandson, who is 9 years old, so he can give me the information that was accurate concerning that particular reptile. So we can learn
mm-hmm.
from anybody. Watch this. Please know that whenever I'm learning, I'm ever growing. But if anything that I'm learning does not bring me spiritual growth, please know there is a thief and a robber among you. Because
Amen.
Whenever somebody pours something into you to contaminate you, it is to contaminate you, to separate you from the rest of the sheep. Okay. Watch this. It is a story that was told concerning some sheep. And I believe this place was Ireland, and they were the sheep were grazing, and the sheep began to graze, and they were so busy grazing, and they follow whoever's in front of them. And so there's a sheep that was in front of them that was grazing, and all the sheep followed this one, these one particular sheep that were up front. And they were following the sheep to the point that they all fell off a cliff to their mm-hmm. own demise, because they were following other sheep that had no direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important that you understand that shepherds don't follow sheep. Sheep follow shepherds. I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
Shepherds don't follow sheep. Sheep follow shepherds. And when mm-hmm. the shepherd calls, they will follow that shepherd. Watch this. And if a stranger calls, they will flee from the stranger because they know not their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why there are certain things that I'm not going to receive from certain people is because I don't know your voice. And there's certain things, and I've learned this, that you can't eat off of everybody's table. Watch this. And there's certain tables you just can't eat off nowadays, because we have mm-hmm. these one-night wonders, these Facebook wonders, and they have a church set up on Facebook, and you can listen to them, and people tithe into them. And I'm not talking about established preachers and different things. We're talking about fly-by-night preachers that just got didn't even get no license. They licensed themselves through Facebook, and now all of a sudden we have so many people who are following them because we got itching ears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're itching. Our ears are itching to hear something good. Our ears are itching to hear gossip. Oh, my God. See, you have to understand, there are certain things that social media is good for, and there are certain things that social media is causing such problems with. Why mm-hmm. do I say that? Because when I was growing up, there was something that was said. My mama would say, what's going on in this house? We'll stay in this house. Now, I know people say, I'm not talking about things that happen in the house that are causing where a person is in danger. There was personal family meetings that we had that you could not take outside. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I was just raised that way. There were certain things that were said in our house that was only meant for the family. And mm-hmm. we could not take that outside of the house. We're not talking about where children are being harmed in the home. We're talking about certain things that our parents instilled in us that we were not to leave, that we're not supposed to leave the premises. Now, it is amazing to me that we have so many people who are willing to air all of their family business online. And I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure out, how is this important to the rest of the world? How is it benefiting the rest of the world? How are we able to help you with these situations? Some things should just be isolated for your family. That's why certain mm-hmm. things that happen in your church should stay in your church. And we're wondering why. We're wondering why so many churches are losing so many people. I come to let you know that there is a stranger in the house of our churches. And mm-hmm. it's important that we understand. We don't know if they came through the window. We don't know if they came from the basement, but we are seeing there is a separation that is taking place in the house of God. Now, I travel quite a bit, and I'm noticing that there is a lot of churches, and it doesn't matter if they're mega churches. I've preached in mega churches. I've preached in churches where there are only four or five people. I don't really care. I'm going to come with the word of the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you got two people. If there's two people there and God sent me there, I've been sent there for those two people. And somebody needed to hear whatever I had to say. All right?
Amen.
He can send me to 5,000. I'm not going to preach no different in a 5,000-seater than I would preach mm-hmm. and just folks who are there with just two people. Why? Because whatever the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord for those individuals. And that's who God wanted to hear it. All right? But what I'm saying to you is that we're living in a day where the word has already been established. He let us know there was going to be a great falling away. Why are we so surprised that some of our churches are empty? We got pastors who are stressed out trying to figure out where our sheep are. It is biblical. There is going to be a separation in the house of God because men have become lovers of themselves. I'm going to say it again. Men have become lovers of themselves. Mm-hmm. They are following strangers and not following the word of God because they say that the word of God does not fit their religious beliefs. Okay.
That's right.
Now, I'm concerned about that because anything that is outside of the word of God and you want to hide it behind religion, please know that I don't have religion. I have relationship. And when you have relationship, it's a big difference. And so when we're in a generation that says, okay, well, I can be still be in church on social media. The Bible says, forget not to assemble yourself together. And there's something about that hand touch contact. There's something about that eye-to-eye contact that lets me know that I'm not in this by myself. There's something about that human touch that lets me know that I'm not the only one who is a survivor.
Amen.
I can't get that through the television. I can't get that through social media. There's a reason why God lets us know that we have to assemble ourselves together. But please know that God has given some pastors, some teachers, some prophets, some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. If there is no pastor, no prophet, no teacher, how are we to get perfected? God has placed these fivefold ministries in our lives for a reason. And we can't keep rejecting leadership because we don't like what leadership says. Now, please know. Please know, when you got good leadership, you don't walk away from that. You don't walk away from good leadership unless you're in a rebellious state. I thank God for my leadership. Mm-hmm. I thank God because I have a caring, loving leader who does not just give me an always pet and say, okay, you're doing a good job, dude. No, sometimes I get correction because I need correction. Please don't let me walk off a cliff, jump off a bridge, and don't nobody give me no warning. Because that means that's not true love. That's not love. If you love me, please correct me. Don't have me keep going in the wrong direction, and I'm trying to make heaven my home, and you're not telling me the truth about who I am. See, that's when people who really have a passion of God and want to get with God and do right by God, because I'll receive correction. Even when I don't like it, because please know that when you're being corrected and you're being corrected and you know whether they're telling the truth or not, you already know you're wrong. Mm-hmm. What I don't understand is why do we get defensive when they're telling us the truth? You know, it reminds me of the movie. We can't handle the truth. But truth be told, I need to know that I'm going in the right direction. God, please send me leadership that's going to bring me in the right direction and not just let me eat and eat and eat, get fat and can't walk and can't do what I'm supposed to do. I need to be fit for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So I'm going to do quickly because I only have a little bit of time. I got maybe about 10 minutes, if that. I want anybody that wants to kind of jump in on this right here concerning leadership. It's important. God sent them to us. God sent us the fivefold ministry for a reason, and I want us to understand that it's important that we care for our pastors, pray for our pastors. We have so many pastors and leaders who are committing suicide in this day and time, and their reason, I don't know what the reason is behind it. There's so many that are stressing. Now, they do tell me that the way we preach in the kingdom is like doing a 24-hour job in 1 hour. And there's so much weight that is on leadership, because we've got to understand they're not only taking care of the churches, they're also taking care of their household. Not only are they concerned about the lights in their home, but they're also concerned about the lights in the church. And when you're in a place where you're not receiving those things or income, because apparently people think that, God just gives us money monthly, and it just is added into the bank account, and it just comes straight from heaven. No, no, no. It comes from the sheep. And when that is it, we have to make sure, bring your tithes and your offering into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Anybody want to open up and say anything? I have very little time. But if you have something that you want to share, please do.
Yeah, how you doing, Sis Preach? I really enjoy you every Wednesday, every third Wednesday.
Bless you,
God
sir.
Bless you. I just wanted to touch base on the thing about the social media, about us coming together. I think you touched on Hebrews 10:25 and social media. Yeah, social media does have its place. As you said earlier, you know, we want to press our way to the assembly and the gathering of one another. However, social media with the cyber church, it is also good for the individual who just seems to can't make it there. Because as you know, us being in the Northeast, we get hit with snowstorms real bad.
Absolutely.
And there are some people who are out there who just can't get it. And when we have those type of cyber things where we can actually be in our location and actually can pick it up. Because let's say I'm in New Milford, New Jersey, you out there in Long Island, and we get hit where I'm at very heavy. And you may not get just a dusting where you're at. Now, if I'm a member of the church there, I can see it cyberly because I just can't get out. So just we don't want people to just think that it's totally bad, but you must press your way to get there if you can physically.
Absolutely. But what we're finding out, is that that – I've seen people, and it's a nice, beautiful day, sir.
You're right.
They'll post on there and say, "Turn up the mic. We can't hear you."
Mm-hmm.
You send it on social media when you're supposed to be in church. This is the kind I'm talking about, because we have good things.
Mm-hmm.
We have good things that are useful, but there are always people who abuse it. It's just like as Miles Monroe said something that is very, very true. God created so many different things for the benefit of our earth. And it is to benefit us. But we have taken the things that God created and abused it.
That's right.
And not using it for the purpose that it was meant to be used for. Now, and I do understand, because I know there's times where we can't get out. I'm using it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't get to where you are, but I have an opportunity where God gives a device so that I'm reaching people that I've never met. I've never met you, sir.
No, we
but
never
this
met.
This is also a blessing. Yes, this is a blessing in its own right. But when people take it to the point where they abuse it, that's what I'm talking about. It is definitely a blessing. It is definitely a blessing, but you'll find that people will use it for whatever purpose they want to use it for. But it's important that we come together. And if you're in your own hometown and you got a leader that's feeding you, please, please listen to your leader. And please
that's
go
right.
there and connect with your leader, because it is necessary. Because what, you know, what people are looking for, I find out that when you have people who come to church and you ask them to come to church and ask them to join your church, they're looking for consistency. Okay, it's like this. This is. I'll give a prime example. You got Easter Sunday morning. That's the Sunday that everybody wants to show up to church, bring their children their little bonnets and patent leather shoes. And that is some of the best services that we have. Because watch this, the church folk are excited because we got people sitting in the church. And the church people, or people who don't normally regularly come to church, ooh, they enjoy this service. This church is slamming. They'll come back the following service, the following Sunday, and it's like a desert. Why? Because people, we have holiday saints, we got first Sunday saints, we got third or fourth Sunday saints. They have their certain days that they come.
You're right.
Are looking for consistency. That's why I try to get people, the church folk, to understand. When we all decide to miss a Sunday at the same time, and you got guests coming in, you've lost some people because a lot of people, first of all, are looking for the crowd. You got to – listen, one thing I realized, you got to catch them before you can gut them and clean them. But if we have nothing to catch them with, it is already difficult enough that we're fighting against the world system that has entertained our children and entertained people who are not in God, that they don't find anything in church that they look forward to. That's why now we got churches who are using strobe lights and trying to attract people. And I'm not saying it's wrong, because some people, they're using it. I just don't see no biblical base for it. But I've gone to churches where I preach, and it is amazing. The background and the lighting and all that stuff is wonderful. It looks really nice. But in the old day, you didn't have to do that. They heard the church and people were praising God, and they heard it outside the window, and it drew them to Christ. But now we got to draw people to Christ to make it look like the church look like a club, just so people can be drawn. Now, whatever floats your boat, if it's working for you and people are coming to Christ, by all means. I don't find a biblical base for it. But the traditional church, a lot of people are going away from the traditional church. And please know that you need to turn them lights on and make sure that there's enough lighting so you can see who's coming in there, because that's another point of stranger danger. You don't know who's showing up in your church, especially when we're dealing with churches now who are getting shot up, all right? So there's just certain things that we as a kingdom, as a body of believers, have to be careful that we're seeing in this new wave movement. If it is godly based, I'm all for it. Anything that got God in it and it is God approved, I approve. Amen? Anyone else want to open up anything?
No, but I like what you said that about the consistency. Consistency is a key factor. You need that, just not in the church, but even in your personal life. Consistency consists of a true relationship with the Lord. So show me consistency, and I can see the Jesus in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The more consistent you're in prayer, the more consistent you're in your word, I promise you it shows up. I promise you it shows up. You know why? Because when you're constantly eating of the word of God, feeding the word of God, whatever's in you going to come out of you. And you can pretend all you want that you are highly anointed and you got all every gift of fivefold ministry in your bosom. Baby, when you open up your mouth, we're going to know. We're going to know. Amen? So we want to make sure that we're consistent doing what we're supposed to do in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
I thank God for all of you who have come on the line. I tell you, I enjoy Third Wednesdays. And all of you who are on the line, I pray that this ministry on Wednesday nights continue to grow. I pray that God always gives us a fresh, consistent word that is going to help you. And listen, please know that I feed off of what you say. I get an understanding. Like I said, I'm always in a place of learning. And when I hear something that will help me grow, even in my ministry, I want to make sure that whatever I do, I am being a blessing to the body of Christ and not harming the body of Christ. Amen? So I'm going to turn it over to Elder Clay and let him give us last words and dismiss us. God bless you. I love y'all so much for coming on Third Wednesday. Please continue to pray for Pastor Mixon. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. We do thank you, Pastor Mixon, as always, for a mighty word, not only mighty word, but also a thought provoking word, and I am on the same page with you when you start looking at the media. It can pull those away from the church, and we need to come together, assemble together, not only just assembling in the church, but also encouragement for one with one another. So I do agree with you on that end. We do thank you. For those of you who were listening, please tell a friend. You can go to blog Talk Radio, and then go to the archive. We Can Begin Again, and pull up this message, share it with a friend. Amen. And we thank you for coming together to just feed on the Word of God. We do thank you. Keep in mind that we love you, but God loves you most. Until next Wednesday, may God bless you.
So hard.